So I'm level 16, almost 17 in the Pokemans. How about you? Are you like just crushing me in the levels?
I'm almost level 19.
The thing last night, and my battery died, and the battery backup that I had charged up to fill it back up. Yep, you're holding one in your hand. It got super hot and stopped charging. So, nice. Like, well, let's not explode my telephone to try to chase down Pokemon. So we came home and then we just never went back out. I was like, oh, I'm tired of being away from the house, because we had 4 pre-releases this weekend that I had to judge, all 4 pre-releases.
Nice.
Started at midnight. Well, technically started at 11 o'clock on Saturday night. Friday night, yeah.
Or no, Saturday morning. You know, whatever. I know what you mean.
We can hand them out at 11 o'clock. We can hand them out an hour beforehand. But then play can't start until midnight, because the event won't even open to load people's names in until midnight. So it's like, Jesus, Wizards, come on, hook me up. At least let us put the names in first. Like, anyway. So starting at midnight, that takes about 5 hours, because we only do 4 rounds for pre-releases. We go ahead and we cap it at 4. We had to run 2 pods to do that this time, which was pretty sweet. And then I had to be back at noon on Saturday. So I got about 4.5 hours of sleep, give or take.
Right.
And then we had 2 on Saturday, one that started at 1 and one that started at 6, which I actually got to play at the one at 6. So that was pretty cool. I won that one. And then that ended at probably 10, give or take. So then I actually was able to get a reasonable night's sleep. Or I would have if we didn't go out Pokemon hunting until like 2 in the morning. And then I had to be back at noon again on Saturday or on Sunday for another one. So yeah, I got to play that one too. So we got a lot to talk about when it comes to pre-releases and Pokemon. So how did your pre-release go?
Well,
Captain Salt Dance.
Yeah, pretty damn much. So I started my second job.
Right. How's it going?
And it's slow.
Good. That's what you need. Are you a Pokestop too, so it helps?
No, I'm not. The closest one to me is about, probably 0.5 mile.
Nice.
Yeah, so BS. But, let's see, on Friday, I worked my first job. I opened 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Right.
Got an hour break, went to the second job, and I worked there from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Okay, so you missed Friday Night Magic.
I missed Friday Night Magic. I missed the midnight release or pre-release. And then I went to bed, woke up at 9 o'clock on Saturday, or woke up at 8 o'clock, and I opened again. So, you know, that was like a rough, like, 6 hours of sleep between my 16, 22 hours of work in 2 days.
Yeah, but
then I get off of work late. Then I get off of work late, so I wasn't able to make it to the 5 o'clock pre-release on Saturday. And I work on Sunday, so I didn't get to go to that pre-release either. Wow. So my whole weekend of Magic was it was non-existent, and it makes me salty.
But it I just broke my pencil. That put that put a big dent in your bills that you owe, right?
Oh yeah, I caught up on that whole BS. So I'm back in the positive now.
Like you win some, you lose some, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But luckily, with there being 2 stores in the area and them cooperating with each other really efficiently, especially since they are located right directly across the street from one another, there's Magic events going on 5 days a week now.
Oh, that's good.
So between working the full time plus the two shifts at night, I still have at least two other days where I can make it to Magic.
Well, that's good. You'll get there. You'll get to play with the new cards. Anyway.
Plan on it next week.
This is Two Trolls and a Brew. I'm one of your hosts, Samus, and my co-host Travis is a salty mother trucker today, everybody. So expect some seething, dry, witty comments today, I think.
I'll try and keep it within.
He usually has a smile on his face when we record, but oh, he smiled. All right, we're good. I think we'll be okay, folks. Anyway, we talk about, theoretically, Magic the Gathering and other games that interest us. Can we say that? Yeah, sure.
Why not? Sure. It's our podcast. We can say whatever we want.
More or less. More or less, indeed. This week's title, pre-release review, which will be kind of one-sided, but sorry. And subtitle, Pokemon is apparently more important than Magic. Oh,
that is also part of the salt factor.
Well, I imagine there's a story there. So let's knock out troll cards of the week, and then we'll find out why you decided to title the subtitle that.
I'll find a troll card. Don't worry.
Yeah, you do that. My troll card this week is Nibbless of Frost. It's a new rare out of Eldritch Moon, and it is a blue for two. For a 3/3 spirit token or spirit creature with flying that also has prowess, that also has basically prowess trigger. You may tap target creature and opponent controls. That creature doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. This was my foil stamped card for the first night that I got to play the pre-release. I got to play in two, like I said before. And this thing did an insane amount of work for me, just like, and I didn't even have that many instances of sorceries. I think I probably had probably six, and this guy just went to work, like kill your dude and tap your other dude, attack for four. I mean, it went pretty nuts. I was really impressed with this card. Whether or not it's good enough to do anything else with, I doubt it, but maybe. Well, what did you pick? Rise from the Grave? Which one?
Yeah. It costs 4 generic and a black. It's a sorcery. Put target creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. That creature is a black zombie in addition to its other colors and types. Actually, I just kind of saw this and I was like, that's going to be really fun in mono black control. And that basically the control build that I have. I figure one or two in the deck it'd be all right.
Well, I mean, you're going to kill all their creatures and discard all their creatures, and you're take their best one and beat them to death with it?
Yeah, that or beat them to death with another Reality Smasher. Oh, no, they killed my first one. JK, it's back.
Seems okay. Like, I'm very impressed with this set now, having to get the opportunity to play it. And there's some things that I don't think we really discussed. Like, maybe they didn't catch our attention until I actually started playing them. And maybe you'd have a better idea when you kind of skim through them to see it. But
like, Ruthless Disposal is going to be amazing.
Which one's that one?
The 5 mana black spell that says, as an additional cost, sack a creature and discard a card. Okay. And 2 target creatures each get -13/-13 till end of turn.
That's not bad.
Especially with that tree.
But a card.
Boom, I put that tree +1. Activate it. Oh no, you're at 1 life.
Oh boy, that's way too many combos.
That's what this game is about, is nombos.
Okay. But no, like, Blessed Alliance, I was really, really impressed with this card.
Sounds like a white card.
It is a white card. So, spoiler alert, both of my sealed decks were blue-white flyers. And jeez, the least amount of flyers I had in any one deck was 11.
Wow. You know what I say to that?
I opened real good.
I can't say it. We're PG-13.
I think I had 11 flyers on Sunday, and I had 14 on Saturday. Like, it's just absolutely bonkers. So, a couple of noteworthy flyers I had was obviously that Nimbus of Frost. Docent of Perfection. That card, also insane.
Ridiculous.
I don't think people are going to argue that that card is bonkers. Just a 5/4 flyer for 5. That also happens to make more dudes. It's crazy. I had each day I had at least 2 Tattered Haunters, which is a blue and a colorless for a 2/1 flying spirit that can only block flying creatures. So aggro. And then I usually had, I think I had 2 both days, the Dawn Griff, which is a white and 2 generic for a 2/2 flying hippogriff. So, like, the fact that there just happens to be, like, multiple good, inexpensive, like, common and uncommon flyers is pretty nuts, though. Like, you have, let's see, what's the other one here? This Advanced Stitchwing is a 3/4 flyer for 5 that can come back from the graveyard by discarding 2 cards and paying a little bit of mana. It's pretty nuts. Where is the... There's like an uncommon, I think that's a 2/1. Here it is. Nebulous Ghast Herald. It's a blue and 2 generic flash flying creature. When it enters the battlefield, you get to tap a creature an opponent controls. Like, just crazy number of potential flyers in the common uncommon categories in both of these colors. And then white, I thought there's another really good white one. Make 2 flyers and gain 2 life, I thought was really strong. It did a lot of work for me. There's one other one in here somewhere. I don't know.
So, I'm going to interrupt you because...
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, if you're done with your story, I guess, then that's fine.
Yeah, but no, I was just saying that there's an abundance of the flyers right now, so it's really easy to put together the all flyer deck.
On Saturday, I actually did end up going to the shop, you know, after the pre-release, obviously, or after it had already started. And one of the dudes, the guy who took first, he was playing a blue-black control, or blue-black, I don't know if you want to call it aggro, or it's basically blue-black tempo. That's what it is. And he had quite a few flyers, but he also had the black vampire that when you discard a card, it gains flying till end of turn.
Yeah, the 2/2, right?
Yeah, the flying bear.
Right.
He had that. He had, was it Dark Salvation that he used as the win condition in one game? That's the one where you put target player puts X 2/2 black zombies onto the battlefield. And then one creature gets -1/-1 till end of turn for each zombie that player controls. Well, he had that, and he had the, where is it at? The Docent of Perfection.
Right.
So he made like a ton of zombies, and then he just killed the 1/1. And then, like, then he just had a field, and the opponent's like, well, guess I better draw a board wipe that I don't have so I can survive next turn.
Well, Dark Salvation says up to 1 creature, so he didn't have to kill anything. Like, you don't have to kill anything, but you can.
There's
a lot of those kind of things. I had this originally written down in the show notes. I found a way to cheat this weekend, Travis.
Oh, I am so surprised by this.
So one of the cards that I had was, or one of my rares in the second day, was Identity Thief. Now, for those of you who don't know what Identity Thief is, it is a blue-blue and two generic for a 0/3 shapeshifter that when he attacks, you may exile another target non-token creature. If you do, it becomes a copy of that creature until end of turn, then return the exile card to the battlefield under its owner's control. So guess how I cheated?
No.
Okay. So I didn't know it didn't hit non-token creatures. So one attack, I exiled a token creature. And of course I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna get rid of your 3/2 token. And the guy's like, okay. And we started going, and then I attacked again. I'm like, I guess I'm gonna do this guy. And he picked up the card and read it. He's like, hey, by the way, like this was like 2 or 3 turns later. It's like, by the way, this says non-token. And I'm like, shit. I'm like, do you want your token back? He's like, no, you've already won this game. Like, I was attacking for lethal that turn, basically. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, that's a tricky card. Like, that non-token is real important in this card. But otherwise, I think this is going to be another one that I'll going to try to really play with a lot in the coming weeks here. This like recycles into the battlefield triggers, which is something I'm all about.
Yeah, there's a lot of creatures that enter the battlefield and make more creatures.
They enter the battlefield to make more creatures. They enter the battlefield and do things like like, I don't know if we currently have any give +1/+1 counters. I think we still do in green. But you have, like, a couple of good clone guys right now.
One of which can't be countered.
It doesn't really matter that it can do that, but it could. But, like, yeah, you've got guys that make guys. You've got guys that that put counters on guys. You have guys that like trigger other abilities. So like right now we still have the 2/2 white creature that says when another creature comes into play, you bolster, right? Like she's still in play. So like even by happenstance, like she makes things work. You have creatures that, like, pump themselves and do all sorts of things. I don't know. I have a feeling this is another one of those guys that's going to be good. Like, so every place that you would use Mirror Mockery?
Yeah.
Any place Mirror Mockery, you can use this guy. But with the advantage of it doesn't kill the token that you make. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It gives you an opportunity to recycle and also lets you pick. And it can be any creature, not necessarily your opponent's creatures. I don't know. I really like that guy a lot. But it's the same kind of thing. Like, I've seen a lot of people that had questions, or I answered a lot of questions of like, well, it says up to one. Do I have to target one? Like, no. Up to one means it could be zero. I dealt with a lot of questions about flipping cards. Like if you meld the two cards together, does it come into play tapped? I'm like, no, because it specifically exiles and comes back into play as one new creature. Answered a lot of questions about, like something that says up to two targets. Like that was really the main question, was like when it kept saying the up to, I think confused a lot of people. There was one guy that talked it. It used its own card name in its box, basically saying something along the lines of like, when it comes into play, also put into play a 2/2.
Yeah,
the guy was like, well, I've got like three of these, so if I play the first one 2/2, I play the second one, I'm gonna get 2 2/2s. I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. It only triggers on its own on itself. And it's like, oh, okay. And I even fielded a question from Remington on the Voldaren Pariah. I don't if it's another black card. It's a black and three generic for a 3/3 flyer, vampire whore. Sacrifice three other creatures and then you transform her. And he was like, so if I sacrifice three creatures and I respond with to her transform ability, does she still have the transform trigger? I'm like, well, the transform trigger is still there, but since she doesn't ever turn over, thus your opponent sacrificing three permanents or whatever it is never happens. He's like, oh, okay, I get it now. So there's a lot of weirdness with this transform ability and when you can get rid of it and when you can do other things. I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. It wasn't so confusing like not the previous set, but the set before, which was Oath of the Gatewatch, right?
Yeah.
I answered a lot of judge questions, like a lot of judge questions. With this set, I think most people got it, but I answered the same questions it felt like over and over and over again throughout the day. Like, it didn't matter if I said something before while people doing deck construction on for an example or not. They just it seemed to be the same questions that popped up over and over and over again. It was kind of crazy. So I have a note here that, because again, it's really the thing right now, right, is the pre-release. So we kind of want to talk more about pre-release stuff. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was things that I saw in particular that were better than were advertised, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So under the multicolored cards, there's a card called Campaign of Vengeance. It is an enchantment for a black, a white, and three generic. And basically, whenever a creature you control attacks, defending player loses one life and you gain one life. This sound familiar?
Yeah.
Brutal Horde Chief, right?
Yep. For
whatever reason, nobody liked Brutal Horde Chief.
Because everybody was wrong. I love that guy.
Everybody was wrong. This thing, however, costs one more mana of a second color, and everyone loves it. Just completely stomped people's faces. Like, it broke game states wide open.
So it costs more, and you need two colors.
Yes, and you can't attack with it.
Wow, you guys. Congratulations. You're all idiots.
But, yeah, no, it completely dominated most of the games that people had it to play. Let's see. What else? Not rares. I want to keep it to things that are not rares that, well, there might be occasional rares in here that came out and just stomped people's faces. One that just crushed me was this Elder Deep Fiend, which is the rare generic Eldrazi with the Emerge. We kind of talked about it last week. That comes into play, taps four permanents, and it's a 5/6. So the exact wrong person had this. One of the players at our shop is named Hunter. He's pretty good. Like, I would put him in the top 10 of our star easy, probably top 5 pretty easy. So he had this thing, and we were both playing similar decks, except he went into three colors for his removal, and I didn't have to. My removal in white was solid. So basically, on his turn 5, his turn 5, my turn 5, he says go after attacking me with like some generic flying creature, right? And he plays his fifth mana and passes a turn to me. On my upkeep, he says, I have upkeep effects. I'm like, okay. And he flashes this thing in, sacrificing his creature, tapping out, and basically time walks my whole turn. Like, this thing was just absolutely insane on turn 5. And I was never in the game after that. Like, taking 5 every turn after that just got me. I did set up in a position where I could, like, double block this thing and kill it. And of course, you know, that was my only chance. And he had a pseudo removal spell, like a bounce spell, I think, to basically lock me out.
Yep.
But yeah, that thing just crushed me. Just absolutely crushed me. The Vexing Sculler, again, another one of the ones that returns a sorcery or an instant from your graveyard to your hand. also did a lot of work. I was really impressed by it. And I did successfully turn over and make an Aurora of Emrakul. But my opponent was already at one life. So it could have, it didn't have to flip. I just could have tapped the mana to drain my opponent out. Like there's a lot of situations like that. I mean, I guess I could have done it that way too. I could have put the flip trigger on the stack and then tapped the mana and killed him anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are lots of things.
I also saw the Aurora get flipped today this weekend. Oh, I thought it was great because the dude who was playing, he had the Mind Rack Demon.
Okay.
Part of his pre-release. So he got the dude, he hit him, what was it, 4 times with it, got him down to 4 life. And then he played the thing that makes the Emrakul.
Right, a little shard of something.
Yeah, the shard of irrelevancy. So he flipped that, and the dude, he's like, all right, well, I guess I'm at 4. And his opponent, he swings with it, goes immediately down to 3, and then he sacrifices his creature with an aim high so he can live. And then, the next turn, I can't remember what the dude did, but he's like, all right, well, you're at 1, so Alpha Strike, and he wins. But even if you just get the 1 attack off of the Emrakul, the Aurora, it's going to be a game changer.
4 damage.
Yeah.
3 life right away, and then potentially, a 1-4 point of death touch.
Right.
Pretty solid. But yeah, no, I was a little bit more impressed with the Aurora card than I thought I was going to be. Let's see. Like I thought, Borrowed Grace was just a game stomper, just completely dominated games. Just being able to sit there and go, all right, I'm gonna 5U or not 5U, 6U off the extra or save my guys or whatever was pretty huge.
I feel the Grace Champion is gonna make a huge splash.
The Grace Champion?
Yeah, Huron's Grace Champion. It's obviously gonna be in green white tokens or green white humans, but it costs 2 green and a white, 3/3 with flash and lifelink.
Yeah, that guy did a lot of work actually for people. I have the feeling that at least one match I heard the opponent didn't say humans get +1/+1. He just put it down and said creatures get +1/+1.
Right.
I heard about this after the fact. So I had the feeling that it probably did a little more than people thought. You know what I mean? It probably bumped the entire team at least a couple of times instead of just the 1 or 2 humans that the person had, but no one ever called me, so I couldn't fix it. This Faith Unbroken, I'm just kind of scrolling through the colors trying to think about what I saw that was really, really crazy. So Faith Unbroken is a white and 3 mana for an enchantment that exiles a creature. It's got Banisher Priest text on it, basically. And also the creature gets +2/+2 that's enchanted. So I put it on this particular card several times to make it a 3/3. We'll talk about that later. But basically this is the best kind of 2-for-1. Like I exile your creature and then I make my attacker even beefier. Especially in the situations that I had where all my dudes were flying. Lone Rider was amazing. Holy geez, this card. I did not have this card high on my radar at all, and now I think it's going to be one of my top draft picks. So it's a white and a generic for a 1/1 with first strike and lifelink. This first strike is what got me. I kept making attacks as if it didn't have first strike.
Loser.
And then once I figured out it had first strike, I was just like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Just like attack every time. And this thing was just absolutely bonkers. Because when this thing turns over into the 4/4 trample first strike lifelink thing, it's just like GG's almost every time. Just absolutely insane. Let's see. Spectral Reserves is the card I talked about earlier that makes two spirits and you gain two life. And this Talia's Lancers, I think, is actually a lot better than I originally gave it credit. Round three, a guy sat down next to me and was like, man, my pool sucks. Like, all my rares are terrible. I don't know what to do. And we started looking through his stuff, and I'm like, you're in the wrong colors. You're completely in the wrong colors. You should be playing this Thalia's Lancers. Like, he had, like, Thalia's Lancers, like, a Lone Rider, at least one Borrowed Grace, and, like, two Dawn Grips or something. Like, he had reasonable dudes, but he had Tamio's Journal also. So I'm like, Thalia's Lancers can go get Tamio's Journal. So then you just tutor up whatever you need after that. Like, it's just crazy. He didn't get a play that last round because he was 0-3 and he got the bye for round four. But like, we played his deck a little bit just for fun or whatever, and it just dominated after we made the switch. So people getting trapped into the wrong colors because thinking, oh, this one card is just crazy. It's definitely wrong. You have to look. There's just so many good commons and uncommons in this, even more so in this set than there has been in the past.
Yeah.
Let's see. In blue, we kind of talked about all the really good blue stuff. In black, obviously, the Crypt Maker Breaker, the black 1/1 zombie we talked about last week. Absolutely insane. Won every game I saw it played. Basically, just like, I'm gonna take this stupid card that doesn't do anything and make it into a zombie. Just over and over and over again. And then I'm going to draw cards like mad. Just absolutely bonkers. Liliana's Elite, same thing. Just took over games. Graft Harvest, amazing. This is one of the cards. One black enchantment. Zombies you control have menace. A black and three generic. Exile a creature card from your graveyard. Put a zombie into play. Like, this Graft Harvest, this Crypt Breaker, like, is going to be the start of an amazing zombie, like, mono black deck. Like, it's here now. Like, you have the zombie, like we talked about last week. We have the zombie lord. You have the zombie stuff that makes it good. You have a way to give all your zombies evasion. You just, it's here. Build the zombie deck now. I promise you.
And it just splashing blue.
I don't even know if it needs it.
Well, it doesn't need it, but, you know, it's really like fun.
You get that 3/3 zombie, right?
Well, you get the 3/3 zombie, and also you get Geesa and Geralf. When it enters the battlefield, mill 4. During each turn, you may cast a zombie from your graveyard.
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's a 4/4 for 4.
Yeah, it might be. I said you could be totally right. I'm just saying that this zombie deck is here.
Well, see, I was thinking
it's here to stay for the rest of Standard.
I was thinking the mono black zombies or mono black vampires.
Yeah, there could be a vampire deck too. I don't know. I didn't see the vampire deck at the pre-release stick out, but I saw the shadows of a zombie deck. It just destroyed people over and over and over again.
I mean,
it just crushed them. Which, if you see, in my opinion, if you see something like that at a pre-release, that tells you something. Like, there's a deck here, probably. Plus, of course, you have, it's got a picture of Liliana on it. Cemetery Recruitment. Like, it's also just completely insane in the zombie deck. Like, 2/1 for 2 mana? Yes, please. I don't know. I'm going to be looking at the zombie deck. And you might be 100% right. It might be black, blue. It could be Scott could be right from last week, I think, or the week before, with his collected company, Black
Coco Deck. Zombies.
Yeah, Coco Zombies. He had a funky name for it, and he was all like, "Ah, no, stop, stop." Sorry. I started accidentally playing the show that we're streaming now, which is not what I wanted. He had a cool name for it, and he was all excited and disappointed that I didn't use it last week, but I didn't remember what it was. So I'm looking it up right now. It is called... Oh, he didn't hit Facebook, or he Facebooked it to me. He didn't tweet it to me. Banter amongst yourselves while I find this name.
Right now, I'm turning Pokemon into candy.
I bet you are.
I call them
chocolate zombies.
Chocolate zombies.
Because of cocoa?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was in the cell or MTG Goldfish.
Yeah, that's where you posted it to, which is convenient because it makes it a lot easier to see things. Joseph, which we will talk about later, potentially.
Joe, keep doing it this way. It's funnier to me.
I hate you.
Yes, that means it's going to happen some more.
Oh, I hate you so bad. I don't know. The red cards weren't winning. In my opinion. Like, Galvanic Bombardment did some work. The Handwear Garrison combo with the land did some work. But really,
did someone actually get that?
Yeah, LJ did.
Yes!
LJ came up on Sunday and played at the tournament. And he's like, yes, I got to take down a round. I made this work. I'm like, sweet, bro. Totally sweet. I don't know. The thing that actually was the scariest that I actually encountered was, I'm trying to find it. There's a red creature. I feel like it's, here it is. This is it. This is the card that stood out to me. Conduit of Storms. Are you familiar with this card, Travis?
Yes, because I'm looking right at it.
Are you? This card was scary as crap. So this is a red and two generic mana for a 2/3. That whenever it attacks, you get to add a red mana to your mana pool at the beginning of your next main phase this turn. Right? Mm-hmm. So basically you play it on 3, you on 4, you attack with it, and if it doesn't die in combat, it flips over into a 5/4 that makes you 2 generic mana after you attack. Like, this thing was scary as balls. Other than that, the red cards, like, there are some good ones. Borrowed Hostility is a good magic card. There's another one that, like, gives +1/+0, and then if the creature dies, you get a 3/3. You know which card I'm talking about? I'm not seeing it in here. Oh, here it is. Otherworldly Outburst. So, like, there was good cards in red, but the people playing the red just didn't win. Or at least I didn't see them.
Well, if I was there, they would have won.
There you go. You tell us, Travis.
Yeah.
I
would have forced red.
In your sealed deck?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good...
Look at that. I got 7 rares that aren't red. I'm playing mono red.
I'm going to show you all. Red's the best. In green... Again, a lot of stuff didn't stand out to me. This Hamlet Captain did some work. When it attacks, all other humans get +2/+2. This Somberwald Stag did some work. It's a 4/3. When it comes into play, it gets to fight. But other than that,
did anyone get Ishkana the Graffler, though?
The
legendary spider?
Yes. This is a funny-ish story. I say funny-ish because it's not really that funny. But Wendell did. So Wendell is
Oh, my God. Yes, that makes me happy.
Like our hairy, dirty guy, right? That every shop has one, I'm convinced. And Wendell is ours, so everybody has a Wendell. And he was not playing it, but he was carrying it around. He had the black guy, the black one drop zombie, and was dominating games with it. So don't feel too bad. So this was his foil pre-release card, like his date stamped one. And I was yelling at everybody all weekend long to clean up their trash, right? Well, Wendell got up and walked away and left a pop, like two cards face down on the table and a couple of trash, like a pop can and a trash wrapper or a wrapper of candy bar or something. So I'm cleaning up his mess because, of course, even though I tell people I'm not their mom, apparently I am their mom.
I get what you did there, parent.
See? Thank you. I'm very subtle with my punnery sometimes.
So subtle you didn't even know.
Oh, I knew. I knew, Travis.
Don't lie. Don't lie to our loyal audience base that we don't know.
So I picked this card up and I'm like, so Wendell, are all this stuff over here trash? And he's like, yeah, I think so. Thanks for cleaning it up. I'm like, awesome. So I'm not going to throw away this foil rare mythic that you just left over here laying face down, getting scratched to hell. I'm going to keep it, if that's okay, for cleaning up your mess. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Huh? What? Oh, no, that one's not trash. And he, like, speed walks all the way around the room, pulls it out of my hand, says, thank you, and speed walks away, but left me with the handful of trash.
So I just wouldn't have said anything.
I mean,
like, okay, so out of all of the shops that I've played in, the arena is the only one that has a trash problem.
It does. It really does.
And it's,
and I'm working very hard to correct that mindset out of our players.
Honestly, what I think you need to do is take it out of the prize support. Be like, look, you guys can't clean up your mess, so we're getting compensated for cleaning up your trash at the end of the night. If you want more prize support, then you pick up your stuff so you're not paying us to do it. Because it's seriously the only place out of the 100 or so shops that I've probably played at in my lifetime that has a trash issue. Every other shop is just like, oh, well, here's our trash. Throw it away.
Right.
The arena is just...
Well, and people like to play where it's clean. Like, the tables are cleared off, and, like, there's room to play. And one of the problems with the arena is people will sit down, like, on one end of the tables, right, and start to play. And then they'll decide that they're going to go sit on the other side of the tables to play, like, a group game of Commander or something, but they leave all of their stuff on the other end of the tables. And it's like, come on, guys, like, clean up after you, you know, people don't want to sit down where there's a mess. And to you, it's not mess, or to you, it's not leaving it unattended. But to me and to other people coming to sit down to play, somebody's already sitting there. There's already piles of cards there, or there's already trash there, or whatever. You got to clean this stuff up. So I yelled at Rodney, for example, because he was helping me judge. And I kind of yelled at him a little bit to call out the people who were doing it without calling them out in particular, because I knew that he wouldn't take it personally, for example. And then I came and I'm like, you know, I called you out in particular because you were helping me judge and stuff. And when you're judging, you have to set the best example possible,
right,
when it comes to things like this, because that's the best thing you can do. He's like, oh, okay, I get you. I understand. But at the same time, it's like, come on, guys. This is a problem. Other people come into the store and they see this huge, like, it's
pile of crap.
It detracts from the store. And it's one of the reasons why they're forced to hide in the back of the store instead of having the gaming section out in the front with the natural sunlight and everything. It's because they can't be clean. Where if they could be clean, I would fight to rearrange the store. Which I already do, but I would fight even harder to put the players out in the front to show people that people sit in there and they play and they have a good time playing cards. And that brings in more people. But instead, people come in, they buy their things, and they leave. not even knowing that there's a community of people in the back playing because they have to hide the mess away. And it's incredibly aggravating to me. This is not what I wanted to talk about on this podcast.
Yeah, well, I think it needs to be said. I mean, not just for the people at the arena who listen. Yeah, but like other shops in general, you know, like they take care of your own community. Yeah. Like, that's all there is to it. Even if it's just like
has to help take care of themselves.
Yeah, like even if it's just, you know, throwing away a bottle. Throw it away, you know, take care of your crap.
I mean, the same thing kind of relates to what I'm seeing the trend on Facebook right now for Pokemon Go, right? There's like a ton of posts right now talking about, hey guys, like while you're out in the parks, clean up the trash.
Yeah. You know? Even if it's not yours, you know, it doesn't matter if it's yours or not. It's your community.
Well, like right now, here in Salina, the local government here has now closed the parks at midnight.
They extended the curfew.
Yeah, they extended the curfew, and they're banning Pokemon Go from the parks after curfew, which is midnight. I think that's terrible.
Well, okay, so but before the curfew at the parks were 10.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just went to the parks whenever I want. I don't really care what the curfew is. I didn't know. I just was there until whenever I wanted.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's gang activity in Salina, so, like...
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they always tended to hang out at, like, the parks because it's a big open area where they can do all their BS and, you know, still be on the lookout for cops or whatever. So they started closing it down at 10, so that way there wouldn't be any sort of like negative activities or, you know, it was just all BS. But extending it to midnight is, I think it's a better idea.
Hell, it makes me wonder if I'm wrong and it's not midnight, it's 10 o'clock.
Well, whatever. But either way, if they extended it, then good.
Well, my point is, like, one of the reasons they're talking about how they don't want to do this stuff is because there's mess. And, like, if you go around and you're cleaning up mess, you know, you should be able to be there as long as you want. See, like, Oakdale Park. If I Google it right now, Oakdale Park, which is one of the parks here, says open 24 hours.
Okay. Maybe it was just sunset that they closed at 10.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But like I said, the point is that they're closing things down. We went walking the first night, I think, at this little park called Jerry Ivy. And basically it's built around this little lake. I don't know, not huge. Little pond. Yeah, basically it's a pond. And it's not huge. There's no fishing. There's a bunch of ducks. It's really nice. They have like this little dock. And there was no problems. It was nice. And then a couple days ago, yesterday, as a matter of fact, my wife and I went there after the arena, after the pre-release, when we kind of walked around a little bit. And she's like, man, I wish someone would skim that trash out of the lake. And I looked down where she was pointing, and a lot of it was leaves and stuff that have blown out of the trees, which I said was fine. But then there's a bunch of trash in there. Like, people were just throwing the trash in there, / the wind was blowing it in there or whatever. It's like, come on, guys. Like, you're using this area. Why do you want this area to be a mess?
Yeah.
Just clean it up. And this is where the Captain Planet theme song starts to play, which is irritating as hell because it's totally indoctrinating.
Right. Well, I mean, that and Captain Planet's a garbage cartoon. No pun intended. Oh, he was actually awful.
It was an awful cartoon, but the theme song is pretty legit. I still wake up in the middle of the night with the Captain Planet theme song going in my head.
Pollution down to zero.
Going to take pollution down to zero. He's a hero on the planet side.
Yeah.
That car hasn't been on, or I haven't seen it in 20 years, it seems like. But I still know the song because it... The indoctrination is real, folks. Anyway. So, yeah, overall, I was pretty pleased with the pre-release. I had a good time. Everyone seemed to have a good time. So I felt like I did really well. I took down the Saturday evening tournament, which was pretty cool. And then my only loss on Sunday was that loss to Hunter, who basically had the same deck I did, but with better rares. And he was just able to out-rare me. And I ended up taking, I think, fourth, because we had two people go 3-0-1. So Hunter was the only undefeated. So he won.
That's mainly because I wasn't there. And if he's listening, he'll be salty when I say that.
Yeah, well, again, I thought my deck was like 9 out of 10. His deck was probably like 9.2 out of 10, just based off of the extra power of his rares.
Yeah, but he can never beat me in a sealed.
I mean, I need to channel that more often, I guess.
Channel me.
But to be fair, like those two games against Hunter, the very first game, I was running 16 lands on my deck. If you can just imagine, like I'm me, Captain 18 lands, no matter what my curve is. I was like, I have enough creatures of like low evasion converted mana cost that I can get away with running 16 lands. I had 11 of them our first game. The second game, like I said, that's the game that he like whipped out the, and I still almost won. Had he not had the 5/4 dragon, game one, I'm pretty sure I would have still won game one. But game two, that's the game that he basically time walked me with that 5/6, and I was never in it again after that. So, like, he deserved those wins. I should have mulliganed or shuffled better or something that first game. But, like, I had reasonable keeps, I thought. So he was the only undefeated. Then we had two dudes that drew in the first round and then proceeded to go undefeated after that. And then, so I was fourth place because of the draws, the unintentional draw round one. So by drawing round one, they put themselves in the loser bracket basically for the rest of the tournament and then proceeded to win out. I don't think they did it on purpose, but if you're not worried about it, sucks to suck. Well, I was just going to say, if you don't plan on winning, like your goal is not to win the tournament, but to take like second or third or whatever, it was a good strategy. Like they both locked up second and third, no problems. I was like, you a-holes. So anyway, I'm sorry you didn't get a play, Travis. Is your LGS doing a sealed for the release next weekend or?
I can't remember. All I know is I'm working. I work every weekend.
Oh, okay. So that sucks for you for a while.
Well, I mean, yeah, no. I'm gonna ask for the game day off so that way I can, you know, do something. But I asked to work on the weekends.
Right.
Because you know how social of a person I am. Like outside of Pokemon Go.
Right.
And Monday and Tuesdays, nobody is out and about doing stuff. So I like those days off so I can just get everything that I want done or that I want to do. I can get it done on those 2 days.
Right.
And
it gives us an excuse to like record. It gives us a nice window. You can run some errands.
Right. And he was like, yeah, I can definitely work with that. Cause well, I mean, it's not a Friday or Saturday, which are our two busiest days, and right. They pretty much need me there because I'm the best at my job.
Right, because you're amazing all the time.
Well, I mean that, but always I'm be also, the best. Yeah.
Also, you make a mean pizza.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Okay.
Like
you've never made a pizza, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's worth the 900-mile trip.
Maybe you bring me one.
Oh. If they don't taste good when they're not hot.
Okay, well, then you're a failure at life because I like pizza as well.
I think they might have one in Wichita or Kansas City, so.
Oh, so just transfer.
Yeah.
When you come back to Wichita or Kansas City.
Yeah, well, I don't plan on coming back, so.
So, yeah, I don't know. The arena's got drafts for the next two Fridays with the new set, and then on the 5th, which is, in my opinion, not good. I don't know. I guess Todd specifically requested this. So for those of you who don't know, Todd is our shop owner of the arena. And that's the weekend of Gen Con. So normally he has myself and another individual who works there named Chris. We take care of the different board games and card games and stuff like that. So he doesn't have to worry about it. Well, we both go to Gen Con every other year. And there was a while where we would alternate, right? So like, I always go on even years, and he had a season where he was going on odd years, so it wasn't a big deal. Well, this year it resynced up again because I think another family trip like hit where he was normally going to go. So this is his Gen Con year again. So this year we're both out. So he switched it to sealed because it's the easiest tournament for him to run by himself, I guess. Which is going to be weird because most of the people who come to play sealed at the arena are also going to Gen Con this year. So I think basically there's not going to be a tournament that day for a limited tournament. It'd just be standard, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyway, before I get to the email, I have a question for you, Travis.
I have an answer unless I don't.
So as usual at the arena, right, we always have the Thursday before a new set comes out, we do a win a box.
Right.
And then that win a box, basically, the way it times out is that it's almost, if not right at midnight, so we can turn around and give the winner a box of the new set if that's what they want. So just like every other year or every other set, this Thursday is a win a box.
Mm-hmm.
And since Remington's not here, it makes it real easy for me to go to this tournament and just shell out the $15 for me and not go and shell out the, you know, and have a reasonable shot of winning as opposed to shelling out $30 for me just to have a reasonable shot of winning and pay for Remington to piss around for
4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So what deck do you think is the best right now in standard? And keep in mind, I have been playing the blue-white Flyers deck that we built a couple of weeks ago. And I really, really like it until I run into like 2-for-1 decks, which is about half of the format, I think.
Well, I mean, honestly, the best deck in the format, in my opinion, is still blue-white humans.
That's a really good deck.
But also, I mean, really any mono-white human deck splashing in blue, red, or green is really solid.
So you don't think you'd play like the Collected Company combo deck right now, one of its variations?
No.
Or like either the Grixis control or the Mardu control, because I was leaning back to, because I haven't played it in a really long time, the Mardu control.
Yeah.
And it kind of eats the blue white or the human decks.
Right.
Assuming that it kind of fires like it should. And of course the sideboard can be changed just slightly, or even the main deck changed just slightly to favor against those kind of decks. So I'm kind of inclined to tighten that deck up a little bit and try that. But you think the human... See, I think Remington took my blue-white human / 1/1 counter deck, which is also hilarious because he's been playing all these tournaments down there in Lawrence or wherever it is that he's playing. I forget.
If he's with Dan?
Yeah, he's with Dan.
Yeah, Lawrence.
Lawrence, up at this little shop called Astro Kitty. And basically, with the exception of the pre-release yesterday where he went 2-1-1, has basically crushed all these people, like in all their drafts, all of their Friday Night Magics, all of their tournaments. He's basically just like destroyed them. In fact, right now today he's doing a cube draft, and I'm looking forward to hearing how he, not right now, but very soon. So I'm looking forward to see for him to tell me like, oh, yep, crushed them at cube again. So, I mean, and I love Remington. He's one of my favorite people on the planet, but he's probably like 50% of the Magic player he could be if he felt like applying himself and trying.
Kind of like a certain person on this podcast that isn't you.
But I mean, if he motivated himself and he tried really, like if he gave it even 80% of his effort, he could easily be the best player at the arena, I think. So like he can track all these cards. He's got the memory that like if he wanted to, he could, with just like a few hours of training, I think, could like go to Las Vegas and count cards and make all the money he needs to in a lifetime, basically. Like,
right, but
he's got that kind of brain. And like I think he could figure this stuff out in such a way that he could just destroy people. But right now he's just not. Like, that's not his focus or whatever in life. And it aggravates me as the person funding his Magic play. But he likes playing. He enjoys playing it, but he doesn't want to read articles. He doesn't want to practice. He doesn't want to actually physically put decks together or even figure out what he likes or doesn't like in the format. He just wants to play whatever cards I hand him. So the fact that he's going to this other town and seeing what it's like to kind of be the big dog in a new area, I'm hoping he's going to come back revitalized and be like, all right, Dad,
let's wreck some.
I understand what you've been saying to me all these years. Now let's get serious about playing Magic. Cause I need one or two of those people in my life to make me step my game up, and travel and do things. Like, there's a PPTQ in Wichita this weekend. I'm not going. Like, I spent all this time, energy, and money building a modern deck and learning the modern format. There's a modern PPTQ 45 minutes to an hour away, and I'm not going. I'm just not motivated enough to go. And it feels like a real shame, where if I had one or two people in my life who were like, let's go!
You can take Hunter.
Yeah. I like Hunter in small doses.
You can take Joe.
I like Joe in even smaller doses than Hunter.
You can take Tyler.
I like Tyler. He usually has to work weekends, though.
He can suck your dick on the way. Oh, wait, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, man. I didn't think about this advantage.
I didn't. That was PG-13, right?
Well, no. But, no. It's fine. Let this one slide. But, yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice to have somebody help motivate me to get things done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, you know, I can't be there all the time.
Well, apparently you can't be here at all.
That's part of the time.
So, what do we play? Again, keep in mind, Remington's got my blue-white human stuff.
Well, since you can't play humans, I say go control.
Okay.
But you're going to have black and red in there because early game humans is just ridiculous.
Well, I'd either go Mardu control, so I could get away with using all the man lands, right? Because I love having the man lands. Or I would do like Grixis control so I could have Jace. So basically either way, it's going to be black and red. It's just a matter of whether or not you want Jace or if you want D-Stone and Manlands.
Or you could go Jund.
I don't know what I pick up in Jund that makes it exciting.
No. Like the Gitrog monster or...
Yeah, that seems like... the exact wrong thing.
What else is there in green that's good?
Like, there's a lot of things. Like, Sylvan Advocate's good.
Oh, yeah, that's a card.
You have the morph combo of freaking Death Touch Velociraptor and the Nunchuck Baby Fighter.
Yeah, I forgot that was still in standard.
That's how I think of those cards. I'm sorry. Velociraptor and Nunchuck Baby Fighter. Den Protector and Deathmiss Raptor?
Yes.
Boom! Did it. Sorry, everybody. I came up... So one of the things that basically I got called on this weekend, it was like, so Sam, I love listening to the podcast or watching the podcast or whatever. I love it. It's the best. But then you start asking about a card and you can't think of the name, but you like describe all the way around it, and then you just like screw it and move on. And the whole time the people are like screaming the name of the card at the podcast or whatever. So there you go, guys. I figured it out this time.
To be fair, half the time I don't pay attention to the name of the card unless I'm playing Infinite Obliteration or some sort of perma removal. I just know what the picture is, and I know what the card does.
I kind of feel similarly.
That's basically how I remember cards, because, I mean, the names are irrelevant to me as long as I know exactly what the text is.
Like, it's
and
apparently, I don't even care what the text is.
For what?
That apparently I don't even care what all the text is.
Yeah. Well,
like, I just, as long as I think I kind of believe what the card does, I'm okay with it. Like, yeah, this card does this of sorts, at least.
Hey, this does this, right? Actually, no, that is entirely wrong. And you've been cheating for the past 3 weeks.
This card just says I win the game when I play it, right?
Yeah, except not. Oh, yeah, I guess I'm a liar.
What are you talking about? It says pick a mode, win the game. Yeah. No, it says lose the game. Right, opponent loses the game. No, the word opponent's not in here. Like, why would anyone pick anything different?
Because now you have Heartless Offering.
That's true. That's very true.
Best new combo in Standard.
We opened one, by the way.
Send it to me.
And the wife did the exact same thing. She opens the card, she reads it, she goes, why would anyone do this? And I go, well, I can think of two cards that Travis talked about, and I told her about the Death Pact and the 2/2 for 4 mana. And she goes, that's not enough for this card. I said, I know. She's like, whatever. She throws it to the side.
That is plenty enough.
My wife is perfect in every way, basically. Except she doesn't make with the table head. All right, should we get to the email bag?
Mm-hmm.
So Joe once again sent in a deck list without linking it through like MTG Goldfish or anything.
Keep doing you, Joe.
Yeah, do you? Don't reproduce. Always the right hand.
Please don't reproduce.
I'm just saying.
I love you as my best friend, but if you reproduce, I'm gonna German abortion it.
always put that seed on the floor. Anyway, so email bag for Leaf Gilder, which I think is the 2/1 mana dork, right?
Yes.
Deathcapped Cultivator, which is also a 2-mana mana dork, right?
Yes.
Nissa's Renewal, which is a 7-mana, gain 7 life, get 3 lands.
It's a 6-mana.
6-mana, gain 7 life. Is it all? It's got to be forest, right? Or is it any lands?
Any 3 basic lands.
This would be much easier if it was on a thing where I
could
click on it and see what the name
of it. Don't worry. I have the mental image of all of these things, so we're good.
All right. From Under the Floorboards, this is the make 3 zombies. Unless it's discarded, then you make X zombies?
Yes. And you gain, if you cast it, you gain 3 life and get 3 dudes. If it's X, you get X dudes and gain X life.
Okay, so you gain life and make zombies.
Yeah.
The Gitrog Monster, which is the 6/6 for 5 mana.
Yes.
That returns a land.
No.
Sacrifice a land.
Yes.
But you can play lands from your graveyard.
No.
So you just sacrifice the land?
No, not at all. Okay, so it's a five. You got part of it right. It's a 5-mana 6/6.
F your couch. I'm just going to look it up now.
It has death touch. At the beginning of your upkeep, you sack a land. Whenever a land goes into the graveyard from anywhere for the first time, for the first time each turn, you draw a card. And then you can play an additional land each turn. So essentially, at the beginning of your turn, you draw a card, and then you draw a card for turn, and then you can play two lands each turn. So it's kind of ramp?
No, it's not even close to ramp.
You can play two lands a turn.
But you have to have multiple lands.
Yeah, but that's where the draw comes in.
It eats a little... Whatever. Now, this card is good if you can also play cards from or lands from your graveyard. Like, I get it. I see. I kind of see what's starting to go on here. But this is not a thing. All right, let's keep going. 4 ultimate prize. Good card. I highly recommend continuing with ultimate prize. Look.
I'm joking.
From the last, 5 weeks of Joe sitting in decks that had no removal, this is a step in the right direction. 3 Pulse of Marasa. 3 Call the Bloodline. All right, I like it. I like Call the Bloodline. 2 Reclaim. So put a card on top of your library. Mm-hmm. 3 Fork in the Road. Go tutor up a land. 3 Traverse the Ovenwald. If you're tutor up a land, unless you're
Delirium,
then you tutor up basically anything, right?
Yeah, creature or land, I believe.
And then 2 Oblivion Sowers. The other good card in this deck. So then we have Llanowar Waste, Swamps, and Forests. Then our sideboard is 2 more Reclaims, 4 Grasp of Darkness, 4 Remorseless Punishments, From Under the Floorboards, Nissa's Renewal, and Kalidus. So we're trying...
What's with Kalidus, Joe? Quit trying to put it in decks. It's garbage. Don't ever play it again.
It's just our best card.
You might as well put it in the garbage disposal if you have one.
It's terrible. Yeah,
it's awful. Nobody loves it.
It's just
unless you try to, unless you're trying to rub salt into the wound because some guy was like, "I'm gonna buy 2 packs of Zendikar because I need an oath or I need a Kalidus," and then he doesn't get it, and I'm like, "You know what? That's a great idea. I'm also gonna get 2," and then I open Nissa and Kalidus, and now I'm just like, "Hey, buddy, look at this that I just opened." And he just gets all super salty, and it makes everybody happy.
Yeah, I don't know. I have one Kalidus, and I'd like to have another one. So the idea of this deck is what? Never lose until you beat them with From Under the Floorboards?
Yeah.
I mean...
Ramp to go under.
I love... I love Call of the Bloodline. Like, it gives you something to do with all these extra lands in your deck. There's 24 lands in your deck, which is not very many. So what should we do? Should we fix this deck or should we just leave it?
Leave it.
Okay.
It's perfect.
Should we just talk about all the things that are wrong?
Yeah, but we're not going to fix them though.
Okay. So the first thing that's wrong here, right, is you don't have enough lands in this deck. Like, I get that you're running creature
24 lands.
Right, which isn't enough for this deck. With Nissa's Renewals and Grog Monster, that's not enough lands.
Okay.
I can need more lands. So the first thing you have to do is you have to go up to at least 26 lands, which means you're probably cutting... I don't know what you're cutting, to be honest. You're probably cutting
a Pulse of Gilmarasa.
Like, you cut a
Gilmarasa. The Gilf Leader. Yeah, the Leaf Gilders.
Definitely cut one of those. And then I think Fork of the Road is wrong. I think you play... What's the Devoid one?
Ruin in Their Wake.
Yeah, I think you play Ruin of the Wake, and you have at least one, if not 2...
Waste
in the deck, instead of Forks in the Roads. And I think you run 4 of those, and you run less... I don't think you run Guilt Gilf leaders at all. Leaf Gilders. Personally, I don't know if that's right or not. So I think you cut three of those and you put in one of the 1-1 from Oath or not Oath. The 1-1 green gut, when he hits somebody, he turns into a, he gets exalted or something. He gets the 1-1 counter. From Origins.
Don't worry, we're going to do this to you again, whoever was complaining about us not knowing.
Oh, everybody complains about it constantly.
Then when he's exalted, he can add any color.
Right. So, like, you have one of that in case you luck sack into it, basically. But you don't want to draw one later in the game if you didn't get it in your opening hand kind of deal.
But if you do, at least you have Call the Bloodline.
Right, exactly. And then I think you turn Pulse of Murasa into Nunchuck Baby Fighting Woman.
No.
I think so.
No.
Because that will let you get back Nessa's Renewal if you need it. It's either that or you run two Seasons Pass in this
because game. Because if you do it like... I like Seasons Pass better.
Like you need a way to get back the Nissa's Renewal because otherwise you're just going to get killed.
Like well, see, I think you're playing as Pulse of Murasa because that's six more life.
Yes, but it doesn't get back the Nissa's Renewal.
So
you have to feed this Gitrog monster. Plus, you have to draw big X spells, right? And those things take mana. And I think getting the Nissa's Renewal is more important than staying alive with Pulse of Murasa. The advantage is Pulse of Murasa does regrow lands as well as creatures. But like you're spending three mana regrowing a land and drawing or and gaining seven life. I just feel like you're stronger the other way. I hear the wife come down the stairs, so she might barge in a second.
Boom.
But I don't know. I really feel like you want the colorless one for sure, a couple of wastes, and then personally I think you want maybe you trim a Nissa's Renewal and you trim a Pulse of Murasa to put in two Seasons Past, I'm not sure. And then I don't think you run reclaims. Or maybe you want one reclaim. So like maybe three Nissa's Renewal, one reclaim, and two Pulse of Murasa. That seems good to me.
Yeah, I guess. So, but again, we're not trying to fix it, Joe.
No, definitely not. And then the sideboard, I think you run Wraths instead of Remorseless Punishments.
Yeah, Wrath is definitely better.
And then you don't run From Under the Floorboards and Nissa's Renewal on the sideboard. If you want Nissa's Renewal, put it in the main deck. You don't need an extra one in the sideboard. The sideboard needs to be dealing with shit you can't deal with. So you need to be able to stop humans, and you need to be able to stop the control deck. So you need Living Lands, you need Wraths. What else kills humans?
Wrath.
Like, there's got to be something else in black and green that kills humans.
Disruption. Hand disruption.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Unfortunately, we lost...
we didn't lose anything.
Exile creature, right?
No.
Yeah, we don't have the one mana... the one mana...
Oh, we don't have Despise.
Yeah, we lost Despise.
Yeah, but that's fine.
No.
We got other things now.
Okay, so what else do we have that hits creatures from their hand? That's less than three mana because all the humans are basically less than three mana.
Mind Rot. The new.
Okay, so you could put Dead Weights in. That's a one mana way to kill a creature. You could put in. So that is Honored Hierarch is the name of the creature that I was thinking. You could put in Jotty Offshoots to block and gain a metric ton of life.
With how much, yeah. Also, I think it should be noted. Okay, so the sideboard basically leave in the Grasp of Darkness, but then take out the other 11 cards.
Yes, I agree.
Put in four duresses, because planeswalkers are still a thing that will hit you, and so are counter or control decks.
Well, so, see, I don't even know if you need the duresses.
You do.
I don't know if you need them. Mm-hmm. Because I think, like, the way he's going, if he keeps things kind of the way they are, like, he might have enough damage that he can pressure planeswalkers. I'm not sure. But, like, I like the Wraths, and I like the Grasp of Darknesses.
Well, he can also do the...
I also like Deadweights.
The Madness Wrath.
Yeah, that'd be okay. Oh, I know what this deck needs, Travis.
Okay, hit me. I'm listening.
It needs groundskeepers.
Yeah.
Like, that's the...
That's better than... God. That's infinitely better than Fork in the Road.
Yeah.
Because you every turn, you bring back the land that you discarded for two mana, and then you play it again.
Right, if you don't have a reason to cast anything. Like, you bring it back at the end of their turn, and...
Most of the time, you don't have a reason to cast anything.
Right.
Unless it's the Gitrog monster.
Right. It also lets, if you have a Gitrog monster already down, it lets you play two lands.
Yeah.
Like, regrow, play two lands. Like, that's the card in this deck. Not the Undertire Groundskeeper.
I think the lands in this deck also need to, obviously keep the ramp, but keep some sort of land effect lands. You know, like the woodland,
Yeah, you put in man lands
or creature lands. Well, not just creature lands, but the lands that do other things like Blighted Fen or Woodland Fen.
Oh yeah, so you can yeah.
So that way at the end of their turn, you can go get like you can either make them sacrifice a creature or draw or get lands out of your deck. But then if the monster's on the field, you can also get more you can get draw too.
Right. Yeah, I'm not opposed to that. What else? Is there anything else in particular?
Nope.
I feel like there's one other thing that's like rubbing the back of my brain skull here.
We need Emrakul.
I was actually thinking you need like that. Is it Nature's Claim or something? Like blows up an enchantment?
Sure.
Like that would be okay.
By the way, speaking of blowing things up, completely off topic from this deck. My unexpected destruction deck is almost complete.
Okay.
I just need the Eldrazi's.
Oh, that's creature cards. Yeah, I feel like it needs like one more like hard to get rid of threat. I'm not sure what exactly that threat is. And it might be something that costs like a million mana. It might be something that brings back a instant sorcery. Whoa. Hmm. How about the retreats?
The what?
The retreats.
You'd be
the
great
black
here.
Retreat, the green retreat.
I mean, just for life gain.
Right. And then maybe you get rid of Ultimate Vice for a Ruinous Path.
Right.
I guess a little slower, but so you make the sideboard like life game, life game, life game, right? And just like completely, like, oh, you're the white, you're a creature, come at me deck, sweet. Out comes all these bad cards, like out comes Gitrog Monster, out comes Call of the Bloodline, out comes Reclaim, out comes all these things, and in comes like 12 cards that say when a land comes into play, I gain a life, and you. And do something, and then I take my stupid little crappy creatures like Deathcap Cultivator and Groundskeeper or whatever, and I'm like, now this guy's like a 12-12. What are you going to do? Like, I just play that many lands, and they're like, oh, no, I'll kill it. And then you're like, pull some Rasset back. Now you're going to kill. You're going to waste another removal spell on my awesome 1-1.
Ah! Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that. Like, if I feel like it needs one more big recursive threat. And obviously, Oblivion Sower is great. I just don't know if it's enough, to be honest. Tireless Tracker might be okay in this deck, too, in the sideboard. You just need Undergrowth Champion. Something like that. Something that just gets out of control with all this extra land acceleration you have going on. And just be the land acceleration landfall guy. And then you have, like, the Gitrog monster and the from the under the floorboards as, like, your gotcha spells. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it's ridiculous. Maybe it's exactly
maybe it's what both. Joe wants to play.
Maybe it's exactly what Joe wants to play.
Which all right, I think we all know Joe enough to know that it is.
It is. And I'm glad when Joe shows up to Friday Friday Night Magics and win a boxes, and I get to play him in the first couple of rounds with these crazy decks. Makes easy victories for me as I lose to Tristadicophobia. All right, guys. We need to play a game, and we need to sign off because I need to make the Duke a Duke.
Me too.
What do we want to do? Don't forget upcoming events for those of you who are in the area. Win a box on Thursday.
Clanger, that's annoying. Hold on a minute.
Clanger. So I'll do upcoming events here. And then so win a box for the new set. And then next month we have the PPTQ. I believe it's on the 20th and the 21st, our double PPTQ weekend. It's going to be Modern. And there'll probably be sick prizes. I don't know exactly what they're going to be yet, but I imagine it's going to be huge. So if you're within the sound of my voice and you're within driving distance of Salina, Kansas, and you'd like to have a shot at two pre-release qualifiers, I strongly recommend you check those out. When the flyers come out here probably this week, I will get them posted on the website, which, of course, is samusgrobo.com. Of course, you can send us an email just like Joe, just like so many other listeners have in the past at the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. You can follow us at Twitter. I am Samus Grobo, all one word, SamusGurobo, just like the website. And Travis is, of course, Turtle Power, the numbers 319. And of course, I'd appreciate it deeply if you would check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/SamusGrobo, where I play all sorts of games every day of the week, basically, unless I'm running Magic tournaments at the arena. Even bad games, especially bad games. So I'm about to start experimenting with this other game called Galactic Junk League, I think. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Somebody has requested that I give it a look, so I might do so. Travis, what game do we want to play? How do we want to wrap this show up this week?
Oh.
Should we play Murder, Death, Kill with the three presidential candidates as it is the first day of their caucuses, right?
You know, let's do that.
Not caucuses. Their
committees.
Sure. We'll call them committees. I forget what they're called.
But yeah, let's do that.
And let's also apply a time machine. So you can hit them at any state, any date or time in their thing. So first of all, I'm going to put a real quick political disclaimer in here. First of all, please take the opportunity to study and learn about all three of the major candidates right now. You have three, regardless of what the media tells you that you only have two. You actually do have three. Gary Johnson is currently the Libertarian on the ballot.
Keep 2% away from being able to be in the debates.
Yeah, he's real close. Hillary Clinton is the presumptive Democratic nominee. And Donald Trump is the presumptive, which we should find out here at the end of the week for sure, Republican candidate. So please take the opportunity to learn and read about those independently on your own. And do not just take the news cycles, I'm going to say BS, at face value. So
also use more than Google.
Yes, because Google is very unneutral almost about everything.
Yes.
I would love to say Google was neutral, but it's not. It's kind of like right now most websites have their political affiliation that they kind of root for. And then they say, but look, see, we're unbiased because we have this one reporter over here who leans the other way. We're totally unbiased. Well, that's not true, because if 90% of something is one way and you have 1% or 10%, that's the other way. It's not unbiased. That being said, I'm biased. Travis is biased. Hopefully you're biased. And I just want you to break out of your shell and not just vote for an R or a D, because that's the color team that your shirt that you're wearing. I want you to go out there and do some research and vote on who is actually the best candidate to represent your values.
Come on.
Damn your phone.
What?
Oh boy, he's not even time. All right, where's the mute button? I'll mute him.
No, it's done.
All right, excellent.
He just called like 20 seconds ago saying, "Can I come in?" You know, because we have locks on the to get into the apartment.
Right.
And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And then he just stays outside like an idiot.
Okay. Anyway, so there we go. Three candidates. Which one do we want to look at first? Do we look at Hillary?
I'd prefer never to see her face again.
Okay. Well, then I guess I was going to,
holy crap. Hold on.
Okay. That's fine. I was going to like Google them and bring them up so they can, let's see, Hillary. Oh man, this is, I don't think I spelled that correct at all.
No, probably not.
All right, so
I already know what I'm gonna do.
I'm sure you do, my friend. I'm sure you do. All right, so no, dude, not this.
Gross.
Not this. All right, so here's Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
covering. This is her like posing now, and then you know we've got her through the ages. Oh, that wasn't Hillary.
That wasn't Hillary. That was her ugly daughter.
Which one?
Go back one more.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. But this is the picture that my friend Tobrell always shows me. He's like, oh, she was hot. I'm like, what? Like, you make somebody 16 years old and they're not attractive, then they were really ugly babies. So... using a time machine, and this is the Hillary Clinton you get to choose from, independent of her political beliefs. Here we go. So let's see, Donald Trump, right? This is the other guy. Basically, he's always looked like this, as near as I'm concerned.
He's always looked like someone stepped on his face.
Yeah, like
he's in a constant state of melting.
Yeah, like he's just always looked like this. All right, so there's that. And then we have Gary Johnson. Oh, no.
G. Okay, there you go.
My brain. All right, here we go. I double clicked. All right, so here's Gary. Let's see. I bet we're not going to get pictures of him while he's young. Oh, it looks like he's already married, though, Travis. I guess all these candidates are married.
Okay, look, I've learned a lot from...
this will be the picture I leave it on.
From drinking recklessly and, you know, hating everything.
Okay.
Rings don't block holes.
That's true. That's very true. Okay, so MDK, buddy. MDK.
Right. I do like how you're calling it MDK, you know, murder, death, kill, saying that all three of them are going to die. Because it's
Mary,
kill, bang.
Mary, kill, murder. Mary, death, kill. I'm only gonna leave one alive at the end of mine, I think.
All right. Well, the only one be alive at the end of mine is Gary.
Yeah. No, we'll do it. We'll do it the right way. Mary, kill, bang.
Yep.
All right. Who are we banging in this time machine? I'm going to go back and I'm going to murder Trump, period. Well, like, not murder him. Like, I'll probably, like, figure out when he's conceived, and I'll run into his parents' bedroom as dad's trying to climax and be like, I am your son! So he doesn't finish.
Let's see.
That I think that'll be my choice.
Can I just do two-thirds?
He cannot exist.
Okay, so... You know, when compared to Hillary Trump, I think he needs to live more, because at least he's entertaining. So I'm just gonna bang him.
Okay, that's a story. I would like to hear that story.
Well, clearly he only bangs supermodels, so I mean it's an obvious choice that it's gonna boost my ego even more than it already is.
That's true. But then what happens if you decline him one time and then he starts to stalk you, sending pictures of his tiny hands to you, like traces of his... Have you heard these stories?
Did you see the craziest dude ever. Did you see the protester with the sign? He's like, fist me with your tiny hands, Trump. Like, Trump is walking by and he sees the sign and he's just like, ugh.
I did not see that, but I can imagine it.
Oh my God, it was the best thing. But no, I would definitely... I would marry Johnson.
I agree.
I would definitely love if Hillary was no longer on this planet.
Well, just because she, I don't know. Again, I don't want to get political about it, but
I'll say it. She's scum.
Okay, you took care of it for me. I can remain neutral.
If any of our listeners have a problem with that view, then they're wrong.
Getting away with some stuff, I think. I think Trump gets away with a lot of stuff too, and I would like him to also go away, but I don't know. Not that Gary is perfect, but I like him a lot, so hopefully people will go check him out.
Well, he's a damn saint in comparison.
Well, that's just it. Like, the lesser of the three evils, I would take him.
Well, I wouldn't even call him evil at this point. He's just kind of like a, hey, I wouldn't guys!
I wouldn't either. There are a few things I think that I'm not a big fan of when it comes to some of his things. But, like, balancing the budget isn't one of them. Like, I think that's pretty awesome. We could use one of those for a while. So, yeah, I would go back in time and bang Hillary when she was, like, 19, before she got all the stupid put in her. It might have. I don't know. I don't know her.
Like someone hit her in the talk about other back things. Of the head with a shovel. She never recuperated from it.
Oh boy, this show got dark. Maybe this wasn't the game we should have used to play. But no, I think that there's a potential that she was a pretty lady. Trump was never attractive at all. The most attractive thing about Trump was his bank account, which is not as big as he claims it is, apparently. So, yeah. But Gary Johnson, on the other hand, he, like, climbs mountains and does exciting things and is in good shape. So, definitely marry him. I think it would be entertaining. I definitely think the country could use the opportunity to marry him for the next 4 years. And he's got a shot. If all the people who don't want to vote for Trump or Hillary just turn around, just that group of people alone, right?
Which is about 60% of the population.
Right. If just the people who don't want to vote for those two people turn around and vote for him, it would crush those guys. Should we end the show right there? What else do we want to do?
I think I want to poop.
Me too. Troll on.
Yeah, troll on.